Well, he demonstrated the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And that was awesome. And today, I have the privilege of talking about Jesus. Amen. Right? You love Jesus?
Yes.
I know he loves us.
Yes.
Right? I love Jesus. I got saved in 1972, so I probably should be about 50 years old now, right? No. But he saved a street kid construction worker and somehow made a preacher out of him. I don't know how he did that, but he did that. And so all things are possible, right?
Amen.
All things are possible. So Apostle Paul, I love the fact that he's an apostle. God called him an apostle, just like the 12. He came to Corinth at about 50 A.D., and he came to a city that was carnal, corrupt, about 200,000 people, a lot of immorality, all kinds of things going on, kind of like today. You know what I mean? I'm glad God's in control. So we don't have to worry about it, folks. We're on God's timeline. He's got a plan. So Paul goes to the synagogue, the local synagogue, and begins to preach about Jesus. And they were looking for a Messiah. They had, their hope was in the fact that they were sons of Abraham, which is a good thing. How many know we're sons and daughters of Abraham?
Yes.
Right? They searched the scriptures. They had, their hope was in the law of Moses. All right? Plus the rabbinical writings they studied. And their hope was in that. And they had daily sacrifices. I'm glad we don't have to bring bulls and goats and sheep and lambs to Rock Solid every week. What do you think? They had the Day of Atonement, which is once a year, a big holy day for the Jewish people, where the high priest would go into the Holy of Holies, where the holy place was there, and they had the Ark of the Covenant, and they had a mercy seat above the Ark, and the high priest would take the blood of a lamb, put it on that mercy seat, and would pour it in, and there was two angelical beings looking over it, and inside the Ark of the Covenant, anybody know, I'm going to give you a little quiz here, inside the Ark of the Covenant, what was in there? Not all at once. Ready? Aaron's rod. If I remember, manna and the Ten Commandments. Okay, got that? Now that sounds like a good thing. And it was a holy thing. It was God's thing. Now, in fact, it actually represented the sins of Israel. And that's it. They rejected God's leadership. They rejected God's commands. And they rejected. You remember the manna in the wilderness when God fed them in the manna? And they said, this ain't kosher. You know? Like, we don't eat this. So they rejected all three. And thank God, with the mercy seat, when the high priest would put the blood in the mercy seat, the idea is that God could no longer see their sin, but he saw the blood. Isn't that wonderful? And God said, when I see the blood, right? Remember Passover?
Yes.
When I see the blood, I will pass over you. There's no death in that. But anyway, they put their hope in that. And all these things, the sacrifices, the law, the commandments, the Old Testament, the rabbinical writings, and so on, was only a shadow of things to come. They all pointed forward to who?
Jesus.
To Jesus, right? When Jesus showed up with John the Baptist, he was going to baptize him. He was told that when you see the dove, the Spirit come upon somebody, that that's the Messiah. That's Jesus. And one day Jesus goes to get baptized by John, and what does John say? Help me out here. Ready? Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. That's powerful. Everybody must have said, what? What's this? Some new theology or doctrine or something? Behold, the Lamb of God who doesn't cover sin, he takes it away. He'll separate us from our sin. Don't you love it?
Yes.
And break the power of sin. Sin has no power over us. Right? So all these things were a shadow of Jesus to come to explain what his ministry was going to be. And that's the gospel. I love the gospel.
Yes.
Right? The gospel is Christ has come, right? He was born. He came. He lived on earth for 33 years. He was crucified. And he was buried. But it didn't stop there, did it?
No.
What happened next? He rose from the dead. Right? And then he ascended into heaven. And where is he now? He sits at the right hand of the Father. And what's he doing? Hanging out? What's he doing? He's praying for you and me. If there's nobody else praying for you every day, Jesus is praying for you. Isn't that exciting? Let's give God a hand of applause. Hallelujah. He's praying for you and for me. You know, folks, I feel sorry for people who are hungry for God, they're searching for God. Do you ever know anybody like that?
Yeah.
You ever hear of a guy named Keith Green?
Yes.
Us older ones know about Keith Green. He was a songwriter. He was probably in the 60s, 70s. Songwriter, singer, you know, quite a guy. And he started feeling a desire to get to know God. And so what did he do? He did what a lot of people do. He looked to Eastern religions, New Age, looked to gurus, started chanting, started going, you know, like the, you know. Folks, the only thing you'll find in that is demons. Jesus had nothing to do with that at all. That's demonic. You can search the world. I don't care what you read. Paul had gone to Athens right before Corinth, and he dealt with the philosophers there. And these philosophers were sitting around. I guess they had money. They didn't work. I don't know what it was. But anyway, I've had to work all my life. But anyway, they're sitting around and ask themselves questions like, what is truth? Where do we come from? Why am I here? What happens when you die? And what happens after you die? So they sit around, they talk about that all day. What a job. And Paul dealt with them and talked with them, and his conclusion was, what a bunch of foolishness. You ever talk to somebody like that, the so-called intellectual? Right? Claiming to be wise, they become fools. And you have a lot of that today in school and our colleges, and we're paying for it. Pastors are paying to have their kids indoctrinated in the nonsense. Right there, woke and whatever else it is. Folks, let me get back to Keith Green before I forget him, all right? So Keith Green was searching, reading, you know, probably praying, God, I want to know you. And then one day, somebody handed him this, the Bible, the Word of God, the truth. And he started reading the Bible, and he said, oh, my gosh, my search is over. Yes. It's Jesus. He's the truth. Amen? He's the truth. And he got saved. And he asked God to forgive his sins, and he was born again. Right? Everybody know that? You must be born again. Going to church don't save you. I'm glad you're here today, but it's not going to save you. It may make you feel good. But we must be born again. Right? Paul told Nicodemus, Jesus said to Nicodemus, Nicodemus, don't you know you must be born again? You must be born from above. You were born once as a baby. We have beautiful babies around here. You were born once as a baby. Now you must be born again. And Nicodemus said, what? How can I go back inside my mother? And Jesus said, you're a leader, an educator. You don't understand this. This is how it all starts. So, folks, just to let you know, you must be born again, born of the Spirit, okay? So Paul went into the synagogue, and he reasoned with them every week. Every Sabbath, he would go in and share with them and talk with them. And my kind of imagination, my spiritual imagination kind of went, when I read that, kind of went wild. I thought, I would have loved to have been in there with Paul teaching, you know, these folks about the Lord. I thought, what did he say to them? What did Paul say to them? And I think what he said was, brethren, fellow Jews, I love you. And God loves you. Then he could have said, and he was the one to say it, he said, I've been where you are. In fact, I was the best. I was a Pharisee of Pharisees. I studied under Gamaliel. As far as the law goes, I was blameless. I had a righteousness that came from the law. Like, I was the height. I was the best. Right? You ever read that?
Yeah.
What else did he say? As far as zeal, I persecuted the church. He persecuted the Christian church. You know what I love? You ever meet anybody that does something with all their heart? Right? I like that. When I played sports, when I played football a couple of years ago, 10 years ago, you know... there were slackers, and there were guys that put their heart out on that field. And Paul was not a slacker. As far as the righteousness of the Lord, I was blameless. But then he said, this is in Philippians, by the way. Then he said, this is so beautiful. He said, whatever I gained in those days, all those years of study, all that scripture, whatever I gained and the positions I held, I count it all as dung. You know what dung is? For the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ.
Yes.
Wow. What a incredible word, right? So I see him saying that. And then, on top of that, I think, okay, this is not in the Bible, but this is Pastor Bob. Using my spiritual imagination. Then he said, which I love. He said, you know, guys, I was on my way to Damascus. I was persecuting the church. I was locking up Christians. I was watching them killed. I saw Stephen stoned to death, and I okayed it. And I watched that man look up to heaven, and he said, look, I see the Son of Man standing by God. And we stoned him, and he glowed like an angel. He said, but that didn't touch me. Then he said, I got letters from Jerusalem, and I went to Damascus. And I was ready to lock all the Christians up, and the word got out. And you know what I believe the church was doing? They were praying for him. Yeah. Oh, Lord, stop this man. I got to admit something to you now. Little confession. For some world leaders, I say, Lord, either save him or kill him. I know that's hard, but I do pray that. Save them, Lord, or kill them. Take them out. They're so evil, they're so wicked. And when I see what some world leaders are doing these days to people and to the church, wow. So Paul's on his road to Damascus, and he's got his letters from the priests in Jerusalem, and he's got his boys with him, and they're going to Damascus, and suddenly a light shines, and what happens? It's so bright. You know, Jesus is the light of the world. It's so bright that it blinds him. And he falls to the ground. And he says, Saul, Saul, what? Help me out here. Why do you persecute me? And what does Saul say? He said, who are you? Like, what's going on? Yeah. I'm the man, right? Yeah, I got the power. Folks, we have no power. The man has no power.
That's right.
You know, really. So he's blinded. And he says, who are you? And he says, Jesus.
Wow.
Who are you persecuting? And then he said, what do you want me to do? Paul said, go to the street and go to that house and stay there. And Paul stayed there for 3 days, blind, fasting and praying. And I believe God was downloading the gospel into him those 3 days. And he was praying, and he was worshiping. And he met Jesus. And folks, when you meet Jesus, your life is changed. Nothing else matters. So he met Jesus, and a man named Ananias is kind of humorous. God said, hey, Ananias, stop praying. I want you to do something. What? I want you to go pray over Saul. He said, what? Lord, don't you know? Isn't it wonderful when we tell God things? He said, that's so funny. He said, don't you know he's persecuting the church? Don't you know he's dangerous? Don't you know I'm afraid of him? He could kill me. And God said, get up and go. Man up. Come on. Let's go. So he goes in there. I would have loved to have seen. I'd like to see a picture of that someday. I feel like we're looking at holy ground this morning. Paul's conversion experience. Ananias prays for him, and the scales fall off his eyes, and the sight is restored. Then he fills him with the Holy Spirit. Wow. And the Lord told Ananias, I must show him the things he must suffer for my sake. How many know there's suffering in Christianity? I love to watch missionary stories of people that have gone to China and Russia and Iraq and Iran, and we support those people too, by the way, our church. And some of the stories that they experienced, not all made it home. They died preaching the gospel, you know. So if you go through a tough time sometimes, there is a real devil, and he hates us. I didn't know when I got saved, I got dropped in the middle of a war. You know what I mean? Light against darkness, good against evil. And I got dropped in the middle of it. I said, what? What's going on? What's going on? I remember one time reading my Bible. I was laid off from work because it was the middle of winter, and I was a construction worker at the time, so I had a lot of time on my hands, so I was enjoying it. I just got saved about 6 months or so, and I started reading my Bible, and all of a sudden, out of nowhere, the devil said, your life is over. You never have fun anymore. Because the kind of fun I had, you couldn't have as a Christian. You know what I mean? So the devil says, no more fun. I went, oh, you'll lose all your friends. Oh. And then the other side said, but you have me. And I was a new person. I've been telling people lately that my wife's first husband died. And they said, what was his name? I said, Bob Costello. I said, what are you talking about? Because when I got saved, the old Bob was crucified. Amen? Paul said, I was crucified with Christ on the cross. I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. So Louise was real happy when her first husband died. So was I. So I'm still trying to read my Bible. Let me get back to my story. And the devil said, I don't know exactly what he said, but he said, you know, whatever. It was negative. You ever attack it that way?
Yeah.
I can't do this, can't do that. You're going to lose all your friends. You're going to this and this and this, which I did. That was true. But I made a whole lot of new friends. And I remember when I met Christians, I asked my wife, I said, who are these people? She said, they're Christians. I said, what's that? So I was a little green. But they were happy. couples were holding hands, and they weren't even drinking, and they were happy. I couldn't understand that. So, then the voice said, Lord said, that he loved me. And he encouraged me. And then, so I went back and forth for a few minutes. I started physically shaking. And I did what every great man of God does. He calls for his wife. I said, Lou. She come, what's the matter? What's the matter? I said, pray for me. She said, why? I said, I don't know. Just something going on here. And she prayed for me, and everything just stopped. And the devil ran out the room. And she said, Bob, that's spiritual warfare. I said, what's that? You know, yeah. And folks, the devil, he don't give up on us, does he? No. But greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. Amen. Okay. Folks, the message of the cross is foolishness to the world. But for us who are being saved, it's the power of God for all who believe. Is Juan here? There's Juan. Hey, Juan. I have a story about you. I hope you don't mind me sharing it. I didn't ask you before. He said, okay, right? Almost done here, by the way. I don't know, a couple of years ago, I guess 4 or 5 years ago, I was at the church here, and Juan called me up, and he said, my cousin, I think his name was Jose, my cousin's here and he wants you to pray for him before he goes back home in Pennsylvania. So I said, all right. So we met on Columbia and 3rd, I think it was. So I pull in the parking lot there, and there's Juan and his cousin. They get my car. And I said, well, I said, hi, Jose, nice to meet you. Juan says, you want me to pray for you? He said, yeah. And I said, okay, before I pray for you, can I ask you a question? And this question is for everybody, by the way, okay? I said, if you were to die tonight, this is something I'll never forget. If you were to die tonight and go before the Lord, and he would say, why should I let you win my kingdom? What would you say? You know what he told me? He said, tell me something that nobody ever told me before. He said, send me to hell. I said, why? He said, I've done too many bad things. And he was a Latin king, tough guy, man. He had muscles on his muscles. He had tattoos on his tattoos. He took up the whole, like, half the car, you know. I mean, big. I wouldn't mess with him. So I asked the Holy Spirit, you know, here I am. I have a degree in Bible and so on. But I prayed. And I said a heart prayer. You know what a heart prayer is? You pray it silently, you know, in your heart. And I didn't know what to tell him, really. So I said, Holy Spirit, what should I tell him? He said, give him the gospel. Tell him about Jesus. I said, Jose, you don't have to go to hell for what you did. Jesus went for you. He paid the penalty of your sin. He died on the cross for you, and he loves you very much. You believe that?
Yes.
He said, I believe it. I said, you want to pray? And he said, I don't know how to pray. So I said, well, just follow me, all right? He said, yeah. I said, God, forgive me of my sins. As he starts praying that, he's just crying. I see the tears coming down his cheeks. I felt like we were having church in my car. That's how I felt. So he asked God to forgive him. I said, now all your sins are forgiven. Your heart is clean. God will never bring it up again. You know, he forgives and he forgets. It's all done. It's all over. Put it behind you. It's okay. I said, now I want you to pray to receive Jesus in your heart. He said, okay. How do I do that? I said, we'll pray. He said, I don't know how. I said, Jesus, come into my heart. Be Lord and Savior of my life. He starts crying again. I didn't cry, though. I was tough. So Juan was probably crying. So he did that. And then I prayed for him. And then he said, thank you very much, Bob. And him and Juan walked across the street. I wish I had my camera on me. And they were hugging. They held each other for about 5 minutes, just hugging each other. Two tough guys. I love to see tough guys get saved. I do. So they held each other, and they just loved on each other. And every so often, I'll ask Juan, hey, how's your cousin doing? And last time he told me, he said, he's a preacher. And he said, he's getting all Latin King saved. I said, all right. Wow. Now, I'm just going to close with, I've shared this with the church in the past, if I can remember it. 4 things God don't know. You ready? You're going to know 4 things in a minute that God don't know. Maybe I won't. No, let's forget that. That's. Four things that God don't know. He doesn't know someone so bad that he doesn't love. And he doesn't know a sin so bad he's not willing to forgive. He doesn't know any other way to himself but through Jesus. He doesn't know any better time to get saved than right now. Today is a day of salvation. Harden not your heart. The most important thing right now in this service, if there's someone here this morning, you say, Pastor Bob, don't know if I'm saved. I pray sometimes. I go to church once in a while. But I don't know if I'm born again. I don't know if I love Jesus. And that's what my message is today, is you must be born again. And today, please don't be ashamed. Nobody's going to embarrass you or anything like that. Say, Pastor Bob, I don't think I'm a Christian. If there's anybody here today, just acknowledge it before God. You know, you could raise your hand if you want. I could pray with you up here if you like. But the main thing is you acknowledge it before God and say, Father, I don't know if I'm a real Christian, like this guy Paul we've been talking about. And the way to make sure you are is just do what Jose did. And just say in your heart, say, God, forgive me. I'm so sorry. My sins, all my sins are terrible. But I know that I believe in your son, Jesus. He died for me on the cross. So I ask you, please forgive me. And if you said that, God just wipes your heart clean with the blood of Jesus. Just wipes it clean. And now just say, Jesus, come into my heart and be Lord and Savior of my life. And sometimes, you know, with church, we make things so complicated. So complicated. It's really childlike. A five-year-old could say that prayer and be saved. And just remember when I got saved, I just said, God, help me. That was my prayer. I can't live like this anymore. When I was only 24 years old, I was a kid, I felt like I was 40 years old. I said, God, I can't live like this no more. Please help me. And heaven came down and glory filled my soul. I met Jesus that day. Amen. One more call is for Christians. I felt the Lord wants me to share this real quick with you. Do you love Jesus?
Yes.
Jesus took the Ten Commandments and broke them down to two. What did he say? He said, love the Lord your God with all your heart. Help me out here. Soul, mind, and strength. He deserves it. Don't get distracted with churchianity, busyness, cares of this world, deceitfulness of riches. Made alive. He's our number one love. We're always talking about God loving us, but we love him. And just to make that your prayer every day, God, help me to love you. I love you, Lord. Help me to love you more. Amen. Help me to love you more. That's what I feel God wanted me to share with you today. Love him. Okay, love him. Don't get caught up in... Remember Mary and Martha? The sisters? Right? Lazarus' sisters, who God raised from the dead. And as Jesus came over to the house to eat, right? And Martha's running around, cooking the meal, making sure everybody's got what they need, you know. And then she said, "Jesus, this ain't fair. She just sits next to you at your feet and look at me. She makes me do all the work." Right, ladies, you understand?
Yeah.
What did Jesus say? This is my last point, but what did Jesus say? Help me out here. "Martha, Martha, you worry about so many things. And really, only one is important." She was sitting at the feet of Jesus. Folks, as Christians, if we get too busy serving God, having no time with Him, we better think about this. Because He's waiting. He's always waiting for us to talk to Him, that He could talk to us. How many know God speaks to us? Well, that's all I have to say about that. Let's pray, okay? Oh, hallelujah. God, you're so good. You're so good. Father, I pray your love would just pour into our hearts today. Spirit of God, just fill us, not just with power, but with love. That we would love God and love our neighbor. That we would share what we have with others. It's almost too good to be true. That we can be changed. The twinkling of an eye, we can be changed. So I pray for all of us in this church that loving you would be our top priority. God, we give you all the glory and all the praise and the honor. And I ask this in Jesus' name. And everybody said,
amen.
Amen. Amen. God bless you, folks. If anybody needs prayer, come on up. I'd be glad to pray with you. I love you guys, and have a wonderful day. God bless you. Thank you. Good to see you.
Can you pray for me?
Oh, sure. Mark? God bless you. Let me just step down here.
Right? Yeah. How blessed am I to find a church with a crying pastor?
You what?
How blessed am I to find a church with a crying pastor? I can't without crying.